What is up, Dolphin fans? We are becoming more and more official, more and more official with that intro. Got the usual round table here, Omar Kelly, Alan Poupart, TD, and myself. Today, we're doing a Q&A. I'm going to just answer your questions. There's some things we could probably talk about. Got rookie camp starting tomorrow, but mostly it's going to be just answering your guys' questions. But real quick, I do have to shout out today's sponsor. That is BetUS. Go check them out. Use the promo code YouTube150. You get 150% on your first deposit, then 125% on your next two, up to $2,000. That's a lot to talk about. Obviously, we have this little graphic here saying the Miami Dolphins 2025-2026 regular season wins. Ooh. Over under 8.5.
Ooh, that's a tough line. I was asked about that over under before we did rookie camp and OTAs. Like, I gotta see the work. I gotta see some action.
Yeah, it's a little early.
But if you forced me to put some money on it, I'm gonna go over. And here's why I'm gonna go over. Tua Tagovailoa has never produced a losing record.
Oh my gosh.
He hasn't.
It's a one-man team. It's a one-man team. It's all about
Tua. Only when it's positive, the one-man team.
It always comes back to Tua. And this is during the Brian Flores era, when he had no offensive line, no wide receivers, no running game.
Great defense.
It was an okay defense.
One man and a great defense.
That Falcons game didn't really help, you know.
Dude, that's one game. Look at the winning streak. Am I going to have to do this again, for Christ's sake? Look at the winning streak. Them from 1-7 to 8-7, and look at the number of points they allowed and the quarterbacks they faced. They faced like Mike Glennon, Cam Newton, who was way past his prime. They faced Ian Book, for Christ's sake, when they played the Saints, because half the team was out because of COVID. And then they faced who else did they face? I mean, Zach Wilson at a time.
Well, it was a 49ers team, too. 49ers team with somebody as quarterback that was – I can't remember.
No, that was 2020. That was a year before.
Oh, I got a better one. I actually have a better one for you. How many – games has Tua ever won more than 8 games in a season where he got hurt?
In a season where he got hurt. That's a two-part question.
Or in a season other than
I don't know if he's, let me look at this.
I'll tell you.
One time.
No,
one twice. Time. So this notion that we win when Tua has never had a losing season. Well, this 8.5 line. Tua's only won more than 8 games one time.
By the way, can we stop with Tua winning games? It's the team that wins.
I agree. I'm just saying, if I'm going to argue with them, I'm going to play that game, Alan.
Alan, I'm with you 1,000%. It's a team. It's a team. But then if that's the case, can we stop the narrative that Tua can't beat winning teams?
Thank you. Thank you.
No. No.
That's fine. Here's the thing, though. Tua's as much as part of the solution when they win games. He's as much as part of the problem when they lose against
100%. 100%.
But the reason why most of the attention goes to him, not to say it's all his fault, but he's the one who is the number one by far on your salary cap. So therefore, he should be asked to live more of the weight than everybody else.
So then it should go both ways.
Yeah, but don't forget what he just said about the salary cap.
A lot of the times.
Yes,
Tua has a higher weight.
I agree with Alan that the win shouldn't just be on the quarterback. There's 22 people on the field. I agree 1,000%, but it doesn't go both ways, because if Tua throws 2 touchdowns, has over 100 passer rating, and we lose to Buffalo off a 61-yard field goal, he is considered, he can't beat that winning team. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep it even, is all I'm saying.
I differ from Alan on this. Wins do go to quarterbacks.
No, they don't.
And losses, wins go to quarterbacks that ball out when they win, and losses go to quarterbacks that don't play well when they lose. And that's where I stand on that. And it still don't matter, because when Tua's in the game, he still ain't had a season where he won. Well, one season where he won more than 8 games. So
you know the two individuals where the records are tabulated next to their bios, credentials, resumes, what they've accomplished. Two people: the coach and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you could list up any quarterback. You want to know what Dan Marino's record was in a particular season, or what Dan Marino's record was throughout his career, or his winning percentage? You know who? What? You know why you could find that? Because they accumulate it. They count it. They consider it. It's a factor.
My closing argument. Jay Fiedler, before the collapse of 2004, was 36-23 in his first four seasons as Dolphin starter in the 2000. Look that up. That's every bit as good as what Tua has done. There is not a person in the world, not a Dolphin fan in the world, who didn't want an upgrade over Jay Fiedler quarterback. So, and then Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl. So can we please stop with the Brad Johnson? Right. I mean,
go to Brad Johnson. And you know what all three of them had in common? They had elite defenses.
That goes to the people who say we'll never win a championship with Tua. And
Trent
Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
We'll never.
Can we? My eyesight's poor. Can we go back to our four box, please?
Yeah, I got you.
Listen.
Oh, hi guys. There you are. Hi guys.
Real quick,
we know Alan couldn't even see that.
Before we even started, we had a new member in O'Shea Morris. Welcome to the membership.
O'Shea's my man.
Kevin John with the Fiverr says, love to see the collective. Fellas, you four have been my go-to for Finn's chatter. Great to see you all together sharing insights. Keep it rolling. Yeah, we have a very good connection, the four of us. We get along.
We do?
Okay. We do?
Well, not according to the comments.
I get along with you three.
Not according to the comments.
I appreciate you, my man.
Oh, man. Every week, the comments say Alan is against me, and he just can't stand me or something.
I feel like you and Alan kind of side all the time. You would agree all the time.
The comment section says that, we don't like each other for some reason. So...
I'll get it working. It's a tag team. Me and Omar versus them too.
that would be a good tag team match.
News nuggets, as we were talking about quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers is agreed to terms already. He's a first draft pick.
Woo!
Our future baby.
And by the way, Omar, you should know this. Quick trigger. Dolphins did not sign a draft pick last year before June 1st. Why was that?
Didn't have any money.
They didn't have enough cap space. They were waiting for Xavier Howard's cap cap number to clear.
It's that cap responsibility.
I got a question for you two, being that you guys know the numbers. So when you look at over the cap, they have the cap hit for our draft class being $4.821 million, but they have the total being 11.5. Is the total how much it's going to cost, for their full contracts, or?
Yeah, the remember, when you're counting against the cap, you only count the first 51 salaries.
Gotcha.
And I think the way that it works, or it's structured, really, they probably only have to worry about the first two guys, the first two picks. So that's probably why it's going to be $4 million in cap space, because you only count the first 51 salaries. You don't, the rest of the guys don't even count. So the basement of the salary right now, let me look it up just so I can give you a good educated opinion on this. The basement of the salary, last time I looked, was $1 million. If you made $1 million, you basically didn't count against the Dolphins cap space.
Gotcha. So the seventh round pick and the sixth round picks are...
Yeah, it's $1,030,000. You don't count against... most of these rookies are not going to be over it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
No,
Keon Smith and Cameron Good are going to get pushed off, and then Matt Dixon going to get pushed off. So, yeah, Ethan Bonner is probably going to be the lowest guy that counts, which is $1,030,000.
Gotcha. And the thing with the rookie salaries, at least in the first year, they're all the base salary is also very, very low. It's just that your top picks get larger signing bonuses, which are spread out over the life of the contract.
Gotcha. Another donation here from Dolphin 345. He says, this is typical Omar. Complains the Dolphins only want to talk Dolphins only want to talk quarterback, then turns around and says that wins and losses are quarterback stat. Can't have it both ways.
Before I address that, I want to say there are 27 players who are making less than $2 million in cap space on the roster, which means relatively just about half of the roster is making less than $2 million, which is the financial landscape of the new NFL, where everybody where six guys make all the money. I don't feel like defending myself on quarterbacks today.
Yeah, address it.
Listen, my point of what I said today and hitting the hornet's nest and tackling the quarterback conversation head on is because I'm sick and tired of people complaining, being, moaning, crying, doom and gloom. Oh, let's wait till Tua gets hurt. Okay, present a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Present a pro. You want to go get Kirk Cousins? Let's go do that. You want to go get Aaron Rodgers? Let's go do that. There's some team that will trade for Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe not right now, but next year. You want to tank and let's go get who?
Look at Tony's face. Tony was like,
I'm waiting on him to name the team.
Listen, I'm just so sick and tired of Dolphin fans. The season hasn't even begun. We haven't even seen people put on shoulder pads yet. And 30% of this Dolphin fan base has quit on the team.
Mm-hmm. Omar, you're going on almost 20 years covering the team, right?
2007.
18. Going on 20 years. So for those 18 years, you've said the same thing. And it's been doom and gloom every time. This is why. I mean, let's live in the mind of a fan here. We're tired of it. Like,
the bottom out?
Cut them. Don't cut them. Try to trade them to this mystery team you talk about.
And bottom out.
But guess what? Maybe this time you'll continue down the path of what you say you were going to do instead of diverting. Because they were headed down the right path when they were trying to build through the draft, even though Chris Greer was messing that up. So then they start paying for players. They start buying players. That's where they got off track, though. Keep building. Keep drafting. You tried to buy it, and now half of them are gone. The people that you pay money and traded draft assets to.
I don't know if that was a solution, because if you didn't go trade for Tyreek, mm-hmm. you probably wouldn't have been a playoff caliber team.
But you would have been younger with younger talent continuing to move forward, because guess what? With Tyreek and a playoff caliber team, what has it gotten us? Okay, hasn't gotten us anything.
Here's the thing. And I'm glad you point out, because Poupard has been here longer than me. So Poupard, probably I would love your perspective on this. Based on my experiences covering this team, I got four reasons why this Dolphins team, the common thread. And we talked about this the last episode. The number one thing is constant change as an organization. Just constant. We're going to 3-4-4-3. Oh, this coach, this new GM. Like, I think I'm at like my sixth top executive, which Poupard's probably at 9. You know, and every time you do that, you get so Steve Ross wants to stay consistent. Whether that's the right thing or wrong thing, we'll figure out this season. But he doesn't want to do the constant change. Number two, lackluster QB play with few exceptions. Now, I would put Tua in the few exceptions, especially 2023 season. Others might disagree. But we've got Chad Pennington for 1 year and Tua's 2023 season. Number three, mediocre O-line play with few exceptions. 2008, 2016, and 2023 are the only years that they've had good offensive line play. And those just so happen to be the years that they made the playoffs. That's why I'm always saying O-line play matters. Significant. Win the line of scrimmage. Win the trenches. And then the fourth reason why this team is consistently hovering around average, December fades. And this predates me, because I hear people talking about back in the Don Shula days, they used to fade in December too. Well, I don't know why they fade other than injuries. No, you disagree, Poupard?
No, not always. They fade in 93. They had a really, really bad one. When that look at the record, they lost their last five to miss the playoffs. But there were a lot of seasons where they actually finished strong. So that's no, I'm not buying that.
All right.
But your reasons are fine, and it starts because it's the most important position in the game by far. Is they've had subpar quarterback play way more often than not. And no, Omar, I agree with you. They've had good quarterback play with Tua, in 2022, 2023. Not elite level because of the failures against the top teams. And it's not just him, but he hasn't raised his game either. And every other reason you mentioned absolutely applies. And you 2008, they also had a really good offensive line when they had Jake Long as a first overall pick. And they had Justin Smiley, who had come over from San Francisco. But it starts, I think it starts more in the front office. That's been an issue. And as you mentioned, a lot of change. And
in the
Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
It's true, though. It's true. I grew up in that community. That used to be an Indian burial ground. That and Walmart. So Walmart's luck should be fading, too.
Stephen with the donation. Appreciate you. Noel with a fiver. Tua Talk is giving me IBS raging. Thanks, guys. Tell me about it. Shadow Fox with the fiver. Pupar has the numbers, but building through the draft doesn't work well with Greer because his percentage of good picks is below average, like half of good teams.
Is it, though?
I don't know if it's below average. I agree with
you. Don't retain them.
You don't retain them.
Not enough.
Don't act like anybody you didn't retain didn't get overpaid. That's true. Paid $24 million for Christian Wilkins? Are you paying? Who is? Raise your hand.
No. But here's the problem, though, Omar. I know that's a steep price, but we would have been able to afford it had we not traded for the guys that we traded for. What's the difference from Tyree getting the money, Chubb getting the money, Ramsey getting the money? Paid it. Like I get that, but we could have retained them though, if we would have continued to build through the draft.
You could have retained them, and just not done Tua's contract. You could have retained Christian Wilkins. I'm still not paying Christian Wilkins $24 million. Christian Wilkins will be a free agent or restructure his contract in two more years when that guaranteed money's up, because Christian Wilkins is not and will never be worth $24 million a year.
So you draft the first round pick, you hit on it, and you'll cost me too much. But
people graduate from your program.
The problem with Miami, we don't have a good succession plan. There's teams that went in the draft and got players in the first round this year that are not going to start because they already got a starter there, but they're ready to move on from them next year. We never have that.
That's true. You're not wrong, but I think a lot of it is the change in philosophy. And I'm not. You know, at the time when they were the F those picks, I was on board with it. You thought you were ready to pivot. You just weren't. You weren't. And you had a really good team up on. Everybody was talking about that Dolphins team in 2023. I would do the pregame show on QAM, and we'd have three different networks on. I'd be there for 4 hours. Promise you, 2 hours of that talk was Dolphins talk that season in every pregame show. And the problem is you couldn't sustain it. And I listened to Teron Armstead talk to the quarterback, Chris Sims. And Teron talked about we had a really good team, but we just had nobody left by the time we ended and then got to the playoffs. Negative 24 degree weather. Like nobody's gonna play good in that situation. And you had Poupart hates when I say this because we do this song and dance so often. Waddle on one foot, Mostert on one foot, Tyreek on one foot, injury patched up offensive line, which features Liam Eikenberg not practicing and playing on an injured shin, injured quad or shin. I can't remember what it was, and chopped liver at the rest of the positions, at the rest of the guard spots.
Not Chop Robinson, Chop Liver. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Then on defense, no Chubb, no Jalen.
No AVG.
No who?
Andrew Van Ginkle, no Javon Holland, no Xavier Howard.
No Baker. Hold on. But the problem, Omar, with your premise there, though, is the Dolphins already had shown during that season they could not
early beat in the year.
They lost against Philly. They lost against Kansas City.
Thank you.
They lost against Kansas City because Tyreek handed them 14 points.
Oh,
that's why they lost against Kansas City.
But how many Tua handed them?
Put that loss on Tua.
I'm gonna take you to task here. Okay. Because you know why? Because if you recall, this was a game with Omar, I apologize. I love you, but I have to do this to you. Okay. I gotta make you accountable for your comments. Because you said on the All Dolphins podcast at the time, remember that game? The Dolphins had a chance to drive for the game-tying touchdown. They didn't deliver. And you, after the game, you were putting it all on Tua. He's the quarterback. He's got to get it done. And I was like, wait a second. There were some issues with Cedric Wilson Jr. at the end of that drive. You were the one that was ready to put it all on Tua, and I was not. And that game wasn't all on Tua. But my point remains, the Dolphins that year, whenever they were playing a top-notch team, the Eagles – The Chiefs,
and then Dallas. Nobody wants to count them.
Six field goals, Omar. Six field goals.
Dallas, and it was
they won.
Did they win? Six field goals. Come on,
did they win or not? And it was a fourth quarter victory. Y'all want to take it away?
Thank you, Jason Sanders. Thank you. Okay,
got to get in field goal range, don't you?
You see how all these conditions?
Yeah, most of
it's like everything's on discount when it comes to
them. No. Let's now the Dallas game. We got to stop this mess. We're going to sit here and act like the defense didn't absolutely ball out. Do you remember right before halftime, right at the goal line, stuffed them? Do you remember when they forced a fumble at the goal line on Dallas? They made so many stops, big stops, where points should have been scored by now.
And in so many games like Arizona where Tua's handed them victories, they wilt in the fourth quarter. But you never count those. You never count those.
I do. That's the only one I count is Arizona and in the Buffalo game. There was one Buffalo game. Those are the only two I count. Those are the only two I count with Tua.
It's like convenient memories when it comes to Tua. See, you got to speak up, host. I feel like
I don't yell over people. I wait for a lull, and then I jump in. Wait a
while, Doug. I feel like I'm all alone being tag team here.
Multiple instances. 2022 in Buffalo in the snow. We lost that game off of a PI, and then they kicked the field goal to win the game. Tua had a good game.
Hold on. Here's what I would about that game. Tua played well. Josh Allen was the best quarterback on the field.
Yeah.
If you recall, what.
But he played well.
He got you the lead with the game. Here's my thing. If Tua leaves the field with the lead, I'm not putting that on Tua.
It depends on the
– Not in 2022 he did. On top of that, the Dolphins had the ball around midfield with like 6 minutes left and had to punt. And then Josh Allen in a 29-29 game drove them down the field, including converting a second and 17 after Zach Sealer sacked them. So the loss is not on Tua in the least, and Tua played well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that at certain times this was a game where, again, they don't have the best quarterback on the field.
And this is why, to Omar's point, to argue it basically, I always say this: it doesn't matter if we have a great team in this regard, because when you go to the playoffs, both teams might have a great run game. Both teams might have a good defense. Both teams might have a good O-line. The further you get, both teams have. And you know what it's going to end up coming down to?
Execution.
Who quarterback shows up the most? Whose quarterback shows up the most? That's typically what it comes down to. I mean, look at how many times Josh Allen has gone to war and the team around him wasn't up to par and they were making mistakes, but he still put them on his back. Absolutely. That's what it comes down to sometimes.
Hold on. Why are we comparing Tua to Josh Allen? Only because he's in the division? Josh Allen, based on what he's done in the first 7-8 years of his career, he's a Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer. Am I wrong?
No.
Tua's not there.
No.
Like, is the expectation for Tua to become a first ballot Hall of Famer? My theory is Tua Matt Ryan-esque? Can he deliver good enough performances to get you into the playoffs and give you a chance and get a team to the Super Bowl if the moon and the stars align? Yeah. I think that he is.
I agree.
I don't.
I agree.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep looking or you shouldn't be taking opportunity or you shouldn't explore.
But they won't.
I said all along. You should not close a door. And this is what the Dolphins kind of did when they gave him the extension instead of having play on the fifth-year option. They basically closed a door for 3 years last year and the next 2 years because it's not impossible they could do what Denver did last year with Russell Wilson and just swallow that really, really big pill of
I don't rule it out that this 2026 could be his last season. I mean, 2025 could be his last season.
Who's last season? Oh, I tried to tell you.
I don't rule it out because we're going to have a regime change.
You don't think they could trade him? If things go wrong,
we're going to have a regime change, and then you have no idea what's going to happen. Mm. But I will say this. Of everything that's going on with this team and this organization, Tua is not the reason that they're not going to win 10 games.
Mm. I agree.
I'll push back on that a little bit because he will be if he's not on the field. That's the only pushback I have.
Because I think
if Tua plays 17 games, I think they have a winning record. No.
But we play the NFC North this year. We played the NFC North this year. Stop looking in the future
because I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, we had the hardest schedule going into the season, and then Tua, you know, played the full season. He had a great season, and then at the end of the season, everyone was like, we had the easiest schedule in the NFL. It don't matter what he did.
And still couldn't beat a good team, Doug. Still couldn't beat a good team.
Who? He couldn't or we couldn't?
But however you want to slice it, both ways.
Exactly.
And his team still couldn't beat a good team. The point is,
let's see, but he still had a winning record, 11-6, did he not? And that's my point. I got to ask the question, and I'm saying if Tua plays 17 games, we have a winning record.
And that's the point. Then when you get in the playoffs and both teams have the same thing, it comes down to which quarterback plays better football. And Omar just said nobody could have played in that weather. The Chiefs did.
Dude, but here's the thing. There's a big difference between what the Chiefs went into the playoffs with and what the Dolphins crawled into the playoffs.
About the Chiefs, who had two of the worst tackles in the NFL that year, and they replaced both of them the very next year.
They had one starting offensive lineman playing that in the Miami Dolphins
with two bad tackles, Omar. So that they replaced.
Yeah, they got a first ballot Hall of Fame coach, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, first ballot Hall of Fame tight end, first ballot Hall of Fame defensive tackle.
And that's why we can't compete. We don't have those things. We don't have those things.
Yeah, how many? Okay, how many Hall of Famers the Eagles got? Do you need those things?
I mean, a lot of them guys on their way, the trajectory.
Saquon, that's it.
Man, come on, man. Jalen Hurts, mean about four more he in there.
Lane Johnson, maybe.
Are we gonna sit here and act like Jalen Hurts don't show up in a big moment for his team?
Not always.
When doesn't he?
Do you not remember the collapse that they had? I think it was in 2023 where they barely made the playoffs and then lost in the first round.
That was the whole season, but even when they lost the Super Bowl, that dude was bawling.
Yes.
But it does help that he has an all-Madden team around him, does it not?
Absolutely.
Like, you have the best offensive line, the best defense, the best running back, one of the best receiving tandems.
Best defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but once again, when you go up against a team that also has all of that,
but here's the thing, JD, we never have that to go up against the teams that have all that.
That's not true. How much do you want to give to her?
When did Tua have the best of everything?
If a guy gets hurt, it happens.
When did Tua have the best of everything?
Nobody has the best of everything.
Jalen Hurts had the best of everything.
He didn't have the best of
everything. He has the best wide receiving duo. He has the best running back. He had the best offensive line. He
had the best wide receiver duo.
Huh? Well, there were people who said Philadelphia.
The Dolphins had the best running game in the NFL, the best receiving threat in the NFL in 2023, okay? Offensive line actually played very well that year. But they were losing games early in the season against the good teams with those same players. Y'all keep ignoring that. This is the point. So they've already proven with and without.
And Philadelphia,
Raheem Mostert, your leading rusher, how many times did he rush for 100 yards in 2023?
Probably none.
Twice.
Okay.
And against the best team in Buffalo in week four, he rushed for nine yards.
Was it not by committee?
Not really when he had 20-something touchdowns.
It still
was by committee. A-Chain gets hurt.
It was not by committee.
Doug, it was still by committee. A-Chain had like 800 yards in six games.
It was not by committee.
He had twice as many carries as anybody else on the team.
He had 209 attempts.
We were also more of a passing threat and stuff. It was a good balance that year where we attacked.
Exactly.
My point is, in Buffalo, week four, when Connor Williams goes down and we put Liam Eichenberg in there, he has 9 rushing yards. If you remember that game, we went tit for tat for the touchdowns. They scored one, we scored one. They scored one, we scored one. Connor Williams went down.
I mean, the game that Connor Williams went down?
Yep.
Poops.
So what was the excuse in week 3 versus the Eagles?
Huh?
What was the excuse in week 3? I think it was versus the Eagles.
No, week three was Denver.
It wasn't an excuse. Fourth quarter, he threw an interception in the end zone on a pass intended to Mostert.
What game are you guys talking about?
Philadelphia.
2023.
Yeah, they were down by 1 score, and then he forced a pass into coverage. It got picked off, and then the Eagles chewed out the clock. And
he didn't force a
touchdown to make Doug, the game against Buffalo, his Armstead went down.
Connor Williams did too. I have the picture of Liam Eichenberg trying to block, doing a split.
They were matching touchdowns the first 4 drives.
And same thing with the Ravens game that year. We were matching touchdowns, then Tyreek had the drop, and then all of a sudden our defense couldn't keep up with them, and we couldn't match for match.
No, that game turned with a pick late in the second quarter.
No, I think the Tyreek drop is when all of a sudden we started losing momentum.
It doesn't matter. They're not good enough. As I continue to point out, Tua is probably item number 7 on my list of why they won't win 10 games next year.
Like, and the biggest problem with the Miami Dolphins is the fact that he's even on the list.
Josh Allen getting hurt would be put him on the list.
But you didn't qualify just from injuries.
No. Injuries. I said earlier Tua wouldn't be on my list. You guys said, oh, well, he would be on your list if it was injuries. And then I said,
Yeah, that was Doug. Doug did say that. I get that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, are we going to sit here and act like Tua is a ideal product in his game?
If I substituted Tua with Matt Ryan in his prime, would you be okay with that, or would you still want better?
If Matt Ryan was in Miami?
Prime.
Would I take prime Matt Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah, I would, because I ain't got to worry about 40-yard comebacks.
You're back to the 40-yard comebacks, TV?
Are we not going to acknowledge 40-yard comebacks? You
clips of Patrick Mahomes throwing passes that Tyreek Hill will run back to.
There's levels to this, Doug. It's a matter of how often.
No, you're just fixating on one thing and harping on it.
Listen, Tua got a 70% rate of deep ball comeback routes. 70% rate.
You wonder why there's this huge section of the fan base that just hates on Tua.
All right.
I'm just pointing out the things that I noticed that a lot of people like to overlook, and then whenever it rears its ugly head on occasions and we lose, we're like, yeah, but.
Let's talk about where Jalen Ramsey's going to play. We are officially getting nowhere, and which is why this is part. I wouldn't talk to the media for the entire offseason if I'm Tua, because what good is it going to do?
And the funny thing is, me and Omar are equally as critical of Tua. Like, you heard me bring up the injuries and Omar bringing up the fact that, yes, he's not. But we will get labeled Tuaneers, which is a name that somebody on this panel made up that I get called all the time.
I didn't call you that, though.
No, you made up the name.
But I didn't call you that.
I didn't say you did. I said I get called it from somebody who made up the name.
But they're wrong, because they don't know what the definition of a Tuaneer is. A Tuaneer is it's only somebody that if Tua got traded tomorrow, they're no longer Dolphin fans. They go with him.
Oh,
those are Tuaneers.
Got murky as time went on.
By them from Alabama. A whole bunch of non-
or Samoans or Polynesians.
Yeah,
or
Hawaiian. There you have it. Those are so people got that whole term misunderstood. It's only for the lack of real Dolphin fans. They are gone if Tua is gone.
Okay, I can
remember. Once they start their conversation, y'all don't deserve Tua.
You came up with that name, I think, in the off season of 2022 to 2023. And then now it took off a life of its own where it's like,
yeah, they make it anybody who support Tua. No. Every Sunday when that kickoff goes on, I support Tua.
Okay.
So about a third quarter,
definitely wants to get the Dolphin 3, 4, 5 squad.
I noticed something about the quarterbacks Omar has listed over the years: Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, Chad Pennington. He loves game managers, thus loves Tua.
I love accuracy, completions and red zone execution. Those quarterbacks deliver both.
I said this in one of my videos. They don't
always deliver clutch killer moments. Like, okay, if you want clutch killer moments, then Derek Carr should be your quarterback next year.
Let me ask you guys this question about, and then we'll get to the rest of the donations. If you had to choose between a quarterback with a ridiculous arm and mobile legs, but he has accuracy issues, or you got a guy who's not mobile but doesn't have a strong arm and is incredibly accurate, which one are you going for?
I know which one Poupard's picking.
All I'm going to say is there are certain members of the Dolphins media corps who, during Josh Allen's rookie years, were making fun of him for how wildly inaccurate he was. And I and Omar, maybe you can back me up on this. I was like, this guy's going to be a problem before long. Because the athletic ability is off the charts.
Mm.
Boy, did he spray it though early.
Early on, yeah. He was spraying it, but damn, there was something there.
Yes, that is true. That is accurate. Which is why I know Poupard will always pick the arm because he's a arm queen.
I resemble that label.
I am going with accuracy. I want efficiency. I want execution. I want you to convert third downs and keep your team on the field. I want you to score touchdowns in the red zone, not field goals, touchdowns. And yes, I love a scrambling quarterback, but that eventually fades. Look at Cam Newton. I keep waiting for Josh Allen to fade. And eventually he's going to get old enough or he's going to be hit enough where it's going to fade. If not, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But Lamar Jackson too. Lamar Jackson has worked harder at being a pocket passer, and I respect that. Josh Allen.
But he has the arm too.
There were some in the South Florida media who don't necessarily cover the Dolphins per se, whose name I shall not mention, who kept ragging and making fun of Lamar Jackson as a passer in his early years, and it was like, the hell are you watching? And this guy now has become a very, very good passer, and on top of being.
I remember a few years ago we called him a running back. He came to Miami and torched us for what, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah, but that was 20.
I'll never get that. I was at the game. But I'm going to take the mobile guy with the arm because I actually was opposite of that in the past. But Tua has shown me that I'm going to take the mobile guy with the arm. And the main reason why, you're going to need about 12 of those passes to go down the field. And sometimes you just got to make the league easier by that one big explosive play. And that accurate guy, a lot of times it's the bang, 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 bang. All right, we passed the 50. Bang, bang. Teams like the bend but don't break. They like that. The defenses that bend but don't break, they like that because they're waiting on that offensive hold. They're waiting on – you give them a greater chance for penalties. People talk about, the Miami Dolphins having a lot of penalties now. When you run this kind of offense, you open yourself up for a higher probability of penalties, which all it takes is one, and now you're behind the sticks, 3rd and 12, or whatever it may be. So I'll take the guy with the arm and mobility because when their secondary is on point, there's another element you got to worry about.
So do you think it's the league has changed? Because if you look at it the way it used to be, like Joe Montana, he didn't have a crazy arm, but he was incredibly accurate. You even Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Tom Brady didn't have a weak arm, but he wasn't Josh Allen-esque arm. You know what I'm saying? These guys were more, I'm going to tear you up in the pocket. I'm going to, pinpoint throw. Whereas now you see the guys who are leading the league is Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes with the leg. Do you think that there's a shift or do you think it'll ever go back to being pocket passers?
No, I don't think. I think there's a shift, and they're opening the door for more athletic black quarterbacks to be actual quarterbacks. Where back in the day, they used to force them to change positions, I agree. While I have my personal preferences, I know I'm a dinosaur. I'm still running an offense with a fullback.
I don't mind.
The NFL, I know defensive coordinators and very good defensive coordinator. They want that to a guy. Give him to me. Give him to me. They don't want the scrambling guy. They don't want that guy because that guy's going to break the rules and break contain. And that's the new way of football. Unfortunately, it's how many of those guys? How many of those guys came into the draft this year? Not even Cam Ward. He's not that quarterback. Those guys are so few and far between. And it's hard to find, but I guess when you see another one coming up the pipeline, you got to tank your whole season to go get him in order to, you know, and then hope he develops and pans out. I think we've learned from the tank. It's not exactly the most ideal thing to do. But it's I think that the league will come back. I think pocket precision passers will eventually come back and be in vogue.
Here, two quick things, if I may. Number one, I don't think so because defensive players are getting even more athletic than ever, and the space is even more limited than ever to get the ball in. And this is where, to me, my definition of good arm strength isn't necessarily the bomb over the top. It's the ability to throw a fastball when you need to squeeze it in a tight window. And this is – or get some zip on the ball if you're throwing on the move. And this is where, like Tua, if he can set his feet – will throw the beautiful deep ball. Mm-hmm. That's not an issue. But if he can't set his
feet on the run,
that ball's not going to get there very fast. Or if he's got a very tight window and he needs to zip it, it's not getting. He can't zip it.
Or he needs to throw out to the boundary because and he can't set his feet. Oh, it's going to be bad.
It's a rainbow. Yep. Patrick said, Doug, Joe Montana and Brady could literally call the playbook in the huddle, do full reads by year four. Just so people know in the comment section, me asking this question wasn't trying to compare Tua to Josh Allen. I was just asking a question because I think that's what Patrick's thinking by comparing Joe Montana and Tom Brady to Tua.
Tua better.
But also let's pump the brakes on what Tua was doing in year four or not, because I don't think any of us really know what he was doing by year four. We got a lot of donations we gotta get to. We got Brad Boss 818 with the big tenor. He says, let's keep it real for once. The team has spent years trying to replace Tunsil and has spent the last few years trying to replace Howard Wilkins and Hunt. You ain't building your running in place.
No. We're actually running backwards. The reason why I say that, this year and next year, when you lose four good players, you're only kind of gaining two for the long term. Same thing next year. Teron Armstead.
Okay.
Calais Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Holland, we lost.
I'm still waiting for the good player.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I'm with you actually on that, Omar, but let's not act like he wasn't on the better side of.
He was a guy.
He was a good guy, not a great guy. Show me the time
he was anything more than a guy. Jacksonville, that's it.
I'm with you. I'm actually not
Ashton big on Davis Javon has Holland. More interceptions was. Than Javon Holland, and he doesn't even play.
And the last one is going to be Ramsey, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And all you really did is add it to. And next year, same added thing.
Who the two draft
picks, and you're hopeful on those. That's all I'm saying, but that's what we're kind of doing, because anybody else in free agency isn't even long-term. It's a short-term situation. So that's why I say Dolphins actually going a little bit backwards. Next year, it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, but hold. Time out. A little bit backwards from an 8-9 team that played without Tua for 6.5 games.
No, I'm not talking about the roster. I'm talking about building your team for the future. We're like, and we're talking about the better part of the roster from a player standpoint. Next year, Chubb is probably gone. Next year, Tyreek is probably gone. Next year, Jonnu could very well be gone. And probably in one or two more of the better players, right? And then you're going to do, replace them again with another two in a draft?
I'll worry about next year.
Yeah, but that's my point.
I hear what you're saying. I think the philosophical shift that they've had where they're like – F them picks, we in it to win it, and they've gone, let's chill out on that. Let's actually develop some young talent. And a lot, I think a lot of these fifth-round picks and sixth-round picks are going to get plenty of opportunity to play, plenty of opportunity. It's going to be like 2019 where you just play everybody.
But you actually had a coach that developed a few people. This regime right now, I don't know who's been developed. Who's been developed?
I'm going to remain silent on that because I don't think Brian Flores developed anybody.
No, he developed some of those guys on defense, Nick Needham and all.
Who did Brian Flores develop?
Tell me he didn't squeeze the most out of Jerome Baker for one, Emmanuel Ogba for
hold on, Jerome Baker. Okay, Jerome Baker played well without
Nick Needham.
Jerome Baker played well before he got there, but that's besides the point. Go ahead.
He had his one rookie season where he was okay, and then he blossomed under Flores. Emmanuel Ogba.
Okay, I'll give you Emmanuel Ogba.
Andrew Van Ginkel. Although he didn't
I think Van Ginkel blossomed after.
No. You were totally wrong on that in on Twitter, Omar. Flores wasn't the one that suppressed Van Ginkel.
You're right. It was Boyer.
Yes. And then he got back with Flores and took off even more in Minnesota. So sure. Give Flores credit on that one. See, we've given it to Omar.
And I'll get another one is, even though he had some good years beforehand, X was never better than he was under Brian Flores. His two best seasons were what? 2020.
X was out there naked and shadowing his whole career of Flores. Flores didn't do nothing to help X. That was all X. Flores didn't do nothing to help X. What did Flores do to help X? X never had help. X was out there.
Maybe he allowed, him to have. He gave him the responsibility to play cover against the good receivers he was facing.
Okay, and that's called ability. I'm sorry.
It's called the coach putting his player in the best position possible to succeed. I mean, I know you don't like Flores, but dude, seriously.
The whole defense was built around X being out there butt boogie naked. The whole – like, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you credit. If you helped me and put me in position to succeed, no. The whole defense was on that man's shoulders. You didn't put me in position to succeed. You put me in position to fail, and I somehow succeeded.
No.
My whole point is Flores developed more than McDaniel has.
McDaniel developed Tua.
Did he?
Waddle.
Did he develop Tua or just
Giddy? Did he? Or the weapons just came in? Receivers.
All right. I'm not going to do this.
Okay, and hold on. Did you just say Waddle?
Waddle took off under Flores. Under Waddle's rookie season was mediocre. He was a slot receiver.
He still have like 900, 1,000 yards?
1,000 yards. He was a slot receiver.
Yeah, but he still
had his he was a volume guy. They kept throwing short passes to him. Why don't we go back to our viewer question there, Doug?
However, I'd argue, I'd agree that if it is an outdated perspective on the position. We need a player at quarterback that puts the team on his back, especially in the AFC.
Name him, Dolphin 345. Find him. Where is he?
Shadur was right there.
Oh, my God.
He was right there.
He was right there. And they chose Jordan Phillips instead.
Hey, I'll be watching that.
Hey, listen, if Jordan Phillips doesn't have a respectable career and Shadur turns out to be a superstar, as did the rest of the league.
Nightwolf at the Tenor says, when you have a quarterback that has our fan base as divided as y'all are discussing, do we really have our quarterback not trying to start anything, but you either have one or you don't? This people are just going to be people. That's what I've come to the conclusion. There's people out there who hate Tua, and I know people say hate is a strong word. There's literally people who hate Tua that have pictures of him concussed, throwing the hands up as their image. There's people out there who hope it happens again. Yeah. Like, these people are disgusting that hate the man for no reason other than other people's fandom of him. It's sad. Like, people will like wait on Twitter to comment on somebody like, oh, Tua, look, what a great pass. And then they'll just hate that person because he said something positive. It's just sad the way it is right now. And it doesn't matter because we'll get another quarterback and the same thing will happen. It's just it happened with Tannehill.
I was a Ryan Tannehill hater. Mm-hmm. And but my point is, look at Tannehill and look at Tua. There's clearly a difference. Like, okay, do you want better than Tua? Yeah. But you could also end up with Tannehill. Like,
Tannehill was fine to me. He had less than two has ever had.
You're a Tannehill guy, TD?
Yeah, because how was Tannehill in Tennessee with all them weapons in the O-line?
But how much was Tannehill and the fact that he had Derrick Henry and the opposing defenses were all
But he was actually MVP candidate at one point, a legitimate one in the last 3 weeks. He also had a higher passer rating than Tua's ever had. Everybody, oh, Tua's the best passer rating in the league. That was 105. Tannehill had a 117 that year. Tannehill also was going toe-to-toe with teams like the Chiefs clutch in the fourth quarter. I watched every game because I was a Tannehill fan. He was going toe-to-toe, big-time performances in a lot of games versus great teams. Now, in the playoffs, he was the bum of all bums. He didn't even throw for 100 yards for Tennessee in the playoffs in the game. But in the regular season, he was balling out under the ideal conditions. But what it taught me was anybody can look great in the ideal condition. Not anybody, but a good enough, not to be good enough quarterback can look like a really good quarterback in ideal situations, but it's not enough to get you over the hump.
I want to see Tua with Derrick Henry.
Well, hey, why? When A-Chain and Mostert had a better production than Derrick Henry in a season. So why? See, Omar, you can't win this one. A-Chain and Mostert had a better production.
Than Derrick Henry?
That year? A-Chain and
you're talking about 2023.
Yes, more touchdowns. But here's the thing: is this goes on in every city NFL? Because my buddy in Detroit's telling me that Jared Goff is eliciting the same kind of polarizing, you know, opinions in Detroit. So it's the same deal.
Patrick with the Fiverr says, Omar, if it ain't to his middle name, my man.
If for his middle name.
I was like, wait, what?
Am I if going? Ain't to his middle name. If, because I guess
that
I
means think. Omar, if, it's, if Omar there, always comes up with excuses and reasons. That's
what I mean. I love that because I took shots at you and called you old man this morning. Yes, I called you a fossil.
CJ with the Fiverr says, I'm having a hard time getting excited about this season. It's the most defected in my 40 years of fandom. I will say this. Every time I've gone into a season and expected nothing, they did something really good. And every time I've gone into a season and expected something, they've crapped the bed. Like, you can look at 2016, made the playoffs. 2017, they sucked. 2008, made the playoffs. 2009. So it's like every time we have high expectations, they crap the bed. And then we're like, yeah, let's see how the season goes. We get 11 wins. So
I'm excited about this year. I've never been more excited.
Yeah, man. This is big. Shadow with the Fiverr says, opinion from all four. Will Greer be here next year? If yes, as a GM or other position to stash him? I think he will be, and I don't think it'll be the GM.
I agree.
I think he'll be back next year as the general manager.
It's 51-49. I'm with TD.
Be back as the GM?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will he be taking a new coach?
I think he'll still keep the same coach because you know one thing that they could always fall back on? You know one thing McDaniel could always fall back on?
Tua got hurt.
I never picked him.
Who picked who? Oh,
the quarterback.
He wasn't my guy. I just did what I could to make y'all.
Then you could have picked a quarterback this year or you could have picked the quarterback.
You hired me to take care of this one, and that's where my focus was.
No. Listen, I firmly believe this season can go one of two ways, and it's really predicated on leadership and not just the players, but Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
They could quit on the team in November or October, or they could actually surprise some people and get to 10 wins. I don't know which way to go. I haven't seen a practice yet, but that's what I don't understand. All these Dolphin fans are just like, I'm good. I don't want to see it. I haven't seen practice yet. I'll be able to watch and see, and I can tell you if it looks horrible or not.
Zach Dolphin 93 with the Fiverr says to it. It's the modern day Andy Dalton of the Pens. He's a Jag. He's good enough to not be good enough. We aren't winning a Super Bowl with Tua.
That's a perfect comparison.
No, it's not.
Not from a skill set standpoint.
Andy He's Dalton good has enough. Never led the league in passer rating.
But he'll win 11 games every year. You'll win 9-11 every year.
Okay, you're right. I'll let that slide.
This comment is a good one. I got a lot of flack from both sides of the aisle for this one. Tua is an average quarterback, true or false? Above average. True. And true. I said that because my criteria is below average, average, above average, elite. Tua's not elite, but I think he's above average. And I got flack for that from...
There could be good, too.
Yeah.
He's still good
in the middle.
Goff is good. He's not elite.
Yeah.
Tua is good. He's not above average. He's better than that. He's actually...
Jalen Hurts is good. He's not elite.
No, Jalen Hurts is really good. My tiers go great. No, my tiers go elite, great, really good, good, which is where you don't want to be on down.
You got too much
above average. Yeah, but that's how you have to break it out if you're trying to compare every quarterback.
Right. Who's it great? Who's in your great? Let's play this hypothetical. Who's in your great?
Because my elite, there's only three elite to me, and that's Josh Allen, Lamar, and Patrick Mahomes.
One more. He's just young. You don't want to add him.
Burrow.
No, I can't put Burrow up there yet. Because for the same reason you don't like Tua can't take the team and put him on his shoulders and stuff. Like Burrow, fantastic season, but I just can't yet.
Stop. He put the team on his back every week. He put up 35 points.
They didn't make the playoffs.
That's when you say it's not on him. Like
they
come on.
They lost four games when they scored 33 points or more. Come on, Doug. You're better than that, my man. Come on.
Hey, I'm just keeping it, you know, even, man. I'm just keeping it real.
He got fussed at about it. But great, yeah, all of those guys.
How about you, Doug? High five.
Jaden Daniels.
I'm sorry. There we go.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, C.J. Stroud.
They're in what? They're great?
They're really good to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just get over the hump.
You got too many categories.
Yeah, well, good is just good enough not to be good enough.
Yeah, I think two is above.
That guy gets you to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
If I had to rank Tua, I'd put him at like 14 to 12. That's where I put him. Like, I think he's like around 12. That's where I put Tua. I don't think he's top 10, but I don't think he's like below 15.
12 to 26. I actually keep my ratings.
You had him 14.
And on a tablet.
Has he gone up for that?
And I think he was like 16.
Two or 17 for me.
Yeah.
Two or 17.
Well, wouldn't that by definition be average, TD?
Huh?
I don't do that.
I feel like the league's getting better at the position.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, 17.
New member, John Brown. Welcome, John Brown. Nightwolf, Doug, I have no hate for Tua. I always support whoever's behind center. Appreciate the slight, I guess. That wasn't towards you, bud. Wasn't towards you at all. I'm going to go back to the question because I don't think he mistook that as it was towards
him. Is that the Brady Montana comp? Where did the comic go?
Yeah, no, it wasn't towards you.
I want to thank
you. When you have a quarterback that has a fan base that's divided. Yeah, no, I was answering your question. I wasn't throwing you in there, Nightwolf. I was just answering your question and talking about things I've seen. William Ray with the 20. Geez, William. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think the Dolphins organization should fine Tua this season every time he doesn't slide in a game? Because half of his injuries come from him choosing not to slide. Yes.
No.
Please.
No.
They have made it very adamantly clear. Just stay healthy. We don't want the play. We don't want the third down conversion. We don't want the touchdown.
And I hate that so much to know that you have a limited quarterback.
You have a fragile quarterback.
Yeah, but that's a limitation. He can't even expand his game.
Every quarterback will take. Like 10 quarterbacks go out a year.
But Omar, would you not agree? In terms of
the possibility he's going to be on that list, it's high. Yes, I would agree. Yeah, that.
Probably in the top three around among NFL starting quarterbacks. Yeah. And by the way, if this is a serious question, no, the NFLPA would come in very quickly and say, no, you can't fine our player for not sliding.
So when is it? Oh, when should he? If it's first round of playoffs, yeah, go ahead and like what are we talking about? When is it okay, or is it never okay for him to go put the team on his back? Because I'll say this, I never had a problem with him trying to make those plays.
But he tries to make those plays that you want.
But then it turns out bad.
Not always. He converted against Houston.
High probability.
You want, normally you want your quarterback to slide. You don't always want your quarterback, especially if it's not the rare breed of Josh Allen. You normally want your quarterback to slide. Like, I'm pretty sure the Bengals don't want Joe Burrow going head first into a defender, because then all of a sudden you got a problem there. Phil became a member, new member there.
Welcome. Thank you, everybody who became a new member today. Membership has its privileges, and you definitely jumped to the front of the line. It's like a VIP line for the club.
Let's go.
I love this name. What the?
Omar, we got to go to the club, man. Yeah, I want to see how you live.
I don't know if you want to go to the club with Omar, man. You're married.
Yeah, I might not.
Bring your wife. Hey, you can bring your wife.
Hey, we down.
It's just as many women in there as guys.
Yeah, hey, we down. You know what? We're training camp, Omar. We're gonna win.
I'm tired of you guys butchering Joe's name. It's pronounced Savainaya.
You know, people have been hitting me up saying that Doug has been wrong about the pronunciation. Like, why y'all hitting me up to tell me that?
So,
That's what I'm talking about, man.
We're going to get it on video and have him explain it to the people. So
I saw it on video from the combine.
Savainaya.
Hold on. Jonah.
Hold on. Hold the flip-flop on. I'm adding it to the stream. I already got it. Technology. Here we go.
They pronounce Savainaya.
Savainaya.
And like I said,
but it's actually pronounced Savainaya.
And what did I say in the stream? I said Savainaya, and I now I'm getting crap for it.
Savainaya.
Savainaya.
Jonah.
It's gonna be a quiz next week.
Well, I don't want to disrespect him.
We're
getting out of here before I get in any more trouble. Apparently, it's pick on Doug Day. Everyone in the chat is hating on me today. This is what I get for hosting this crap. TD's going to be getting emails. You know, Doug's this and that.
Doug's mean to me.
You don't know. I cry when I get off the stream every day. I sit over there and I cry.
Welcome to my life.
We appreciate everyone. We have 529 of you beautiful human beings in here. Be sure to hit that like button on your way out. You can check all my guys out. Omar, where can they find you?
You can find me at the Miami Herald, Dolphins in Depth. I've got a great podcast up breaking down the draft prospects and the undrafted rookies. We'll be also there after rookie camp on Friday. So we'll be able to see, 25 minutes per part of action. Rookies trying to learn how to run to different fields.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
This is correct. I am crying while playing MLB The Show. I love that game. Alan, where can they find your beautiful work?
The written content is Miami Dolphins on SI.com, and I have the All Dolphins podcast, which is going – 3 times a week during the off season with special episodes when news breaks. We'll have a show tomorrow as well, talking about the rookie minicamp and everything we observe, as Omar just said, in our limited viewing.
So you guys are there for 3 days and you're going to see about an hour of work?
No, we're only invited for 1 day. They kick us out for the rest.
What are they really doing, though? Like, are they
they're having symposiums and talking about finances and finding the right housing situation, managing your money, avoid the girls.
Omar.
Media training. I don't know if they do media training now or during training camp, but yeah, it's, and they measure for shoes and pads and helmets It's a symposium more than it is practice.
TD, what do you got going on?
Oh, man, I'm just chilling, riding the coattails of you guys. I just became an instructor. I got my license, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Teaching what?
Jiu-jitsu.
Nice. Oh,
okay, congratulations.
You guys. You
your black belt?
100%.
Doug, don't believe me.
Not for God.
I got one client.
We ain't out of here. You can find me youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. TD is a troll.
I can't teach jiu-jitsu. Come on, man. Yeah,
I'll teach you how to fall, TD. Get over here. We will see you guys on Tuesday at 8:30. Catch you later.
All right, guys.
Peace. Two at a time.